All right, welcome to Young Turks special election coverage. We're gonna go 3 hours here and talk about a lot of the races that are happening tomorrow, including ballot measures, including on pot and then voter registration and campaign finance reform, so many other really important ones, governor's races, Senate races, and House races. As we stand right now, there's nail biters all across the board. So in the House, there's almost too many to talk about, but we will in this 3 hours. But in the Senate right now, Missouri, Nevada, Indiana, and Arizona are absolutely razor's edge. They could go either way. They keep flipping in the polls back and forth, back and forth. There are other incredibly tight races as well, including the governor's race in Georgia, Brian Kemp versus Stacey Abrams. Now, in this 3 hours, you'll see a lot of folks here. In a little bit, John and Anna are gonna join me. And we're also gonna have Ben here. Also, some folks have agreed to come in and help us in talking about the races and getting out people to vote. Omar Benson Miller is going to join us in a little bit. So is Tommy Chong, he's already in the building. Chong is in the building, everyone. He cares a little bit about some of those ballot measures. And some other issues as well. Rosanna Arquette, very energetic and passionate advocate for progressive causes and for voting. Rob Hubel is also going to join us a little bit later. That's all tonight. And then tomorrow, of course, wall to wall coverage starting at 1 p.m. Eastern and going probably to at least 1 a.m. Eastern. And we're gonna have other great guests for you. And we're even gonna have some conservatives on tomorrow too to hear from them as well, including a conservative who wants to get money out of politics. Wow, who would have figured, right? So that's tyt.com/live to keep watching tomorrow as well. So now, before we do any of that, and before I get to some of my guests, and I've got some guests coming up in this first half hour as well, I have a special announcement for you guys. So we built an army called the TYT Army. Now it's a political army and it's a fact-checking army, and it's on social media. And so part of the idea here was, there are trolls all over the internet and they spread lies and falsehood. And our job is to the best of our ability to bring the truth to you guys. And what I love is that it's not just us that's the Young Turks, but it's you guys that are the Young Turks. And I wanna empower you in every way that we can. Some of our hosts have come on from the audience, some of the people who work here are from the audience. And so we wanted to start a volunteer army to go and correct the media when they get things wrong, and to correct the falsehoods online. Now we started, and a lot of you have already signed up, thousands have already signed up. We want more to sign up, but that's the fun and great announcement I have for you guys today. We found the perfect person to lead the army, Allison Hartson. So Allison was a California Senate candidate here in California. She was the Justice Democrat candidate, and she was of course also the national director of Wolfpack to get money out of politics. At Wolfpack, she organized over 30,000 volunteers. And when she was running for Senate, she organized over 2,000 volunteers for her own campaign. She is amazing at it. I would argue the best in the business. So already I've seen her plan and it's wonderful. What it does is not just get you guys to follow up on the stories we talk about, but for you guys to find the stories, figure out who should, which are the most important to correct. And by the way, we'll be doing more than just corrections. We want to spread the message in so many different ways, online and in person as well. But have different teams with different specialties so that we can find the things that are going wrong, correct them, help publish, help spread the message. And Allison is, like I said, as good as it gets in this category. So if you wanna join up, tyt.com/army, and soon we'll be utilizing you guys to the best of your abilities. Because before, we're trying the best we can without having the ability to have it be a self-regulating organization. But now it can have a life of its own. And of course, whenever we talk about army, we mean political and we mean words. We're the left wing, we're progressives. And so it's nothing like the right wing, but they have their own guys who spread falsehoods. It's about time we stood up for the truth. So if you want to be part of that mission, tyt.com/army. And now General Hartson is on the beat. Okay, can't wait to see what you guys are gonna do with that. I think it's gonna be amazing. Okay, so you know what, I'll just give you one more quick example. Like once we asked the TYT Army, hey, can you guys come up with examples of things that are wrong in the media? And we were overwhelmed. There were dozens of examples. They were all good. And that's why we had the idea to bring in Allison, so that we can organize all that, because we were too, there's not enough staffers here, right? So she's gonna help put things together so that you guys can do your own curation, figure out which one's the worst and which one we should you know, get after. And by the way, which then comes back on the show. So your work product then comes on the show and we push out the message together. I'm super excited by it. Okay, now let me do some guests for you guys, and then we'll bring in the other folks who are live here in the studio. So joining me first is Dave Leventhal, and he's a senior political reporter and federal politics editor at Center for Public Integrity. Dave, great to have you with us.
Hey, great to be back with you.
All right, so Dave, for the folks who didn't see, what is the Center for Public Integrity?
We're a nonprofit investigative news organization based here in Washington, D.C. We have existed for 30 years, and in our current iteration, we are holding government accountable in pretty much every which way that we can, particularly on the issues of federal politics, state politics, national security, environmental issues, immigration. Those are all key issues, and we don't care if you're on the right or the left. We want to make sure that everyone is doing their job, and we're there to be a watchdog.
Well, I like that kind of talk. Obviously, we're massively in favor of watchdogs. We wish that they would do that. The rest of the media would do that a lot more. So, but you got a new series called Abandoned America. What is that about?
Well, Donald Trump over the summer said that, hey, look, you know, the economy is as good as it's ever been. His administration said that the nation's longstanding war on poverty is largely over and won. So with the backdrop, of course, now being the midterm election, we wanted to investigate places around the country that simply just didn't quite fit into that narrative. It was a very data-driven project that we began early this year, and ultimately we chose six places around the country to basically tell the stories of people who had profound political needs, but yet had so very little to show for those needs. Didn't feel like Washington was representing them. Didn't feel as if the current power structure was benefiting them. And it ranged the country. We went to Fresno, California, Presidio, Texas, this very curious border town. We went to North Carolina, which to a town that had been hit by not one but two hurricanes, the most recent of which being Florence, and basically felt that the federal government had failed them to a large degree. So ultimately, it was a bit idiosyncratic for us. Usually, we're focused on big money in politics and the people who have power and the billionaires who are funneling money into the system. We wanted to look at the people who had effectively nothing at all and find out what their stories were and tell those stories.
So Dave, I did a video over the weekend because I was greatly frustrated by a Meet the Press segment that NBC had. And they talked about, they of course had no progressives on, as usual. Meet the Press is the single worst organization in media in unbalanced panels. 85% of their panels are tilt right wing. They have more right wing guests and politicians on than they have left wing. It's actually worse than Fox News. And they did it again. They had one conservative, Hugh Hewitt, and they had one pollster who's neutral and four reporters, so-called reporters. And so Hugh Hewitt said, oh, the economy's booming, it's doing wonderful. And then Tom Brokaw comes in, who's supposed to be neutral, and backs him up. He says it's an amazing economy. Not a single progressive to talk about it, but forget progressives. No reporter such as yourself to say, hey, wait a minute, wages are actually declining when you take inflation into account. So when you went to these six different areas, what's the real America that you guys saw?
So to be clear, I think across the country, you definitely will find plenty of places where the economy is doing quite well and people relatively happy, very, very happy with the way the economy is. But when we went to, for example, St. Louis, unbelievable issues with housing there. When we went to Mississippi, which is a state that ranks right at the bottom for education, and we went to Yazoo City, Mississippi, which is literally one of the worst school districts in the lowest ranked state in the country, we found people who effectively said, we don't know where to turn. We don't know where to go. We can't go anywhere because we don't have enough money to do so. How do we get the help that we need? And this was a story that over a variety of different issues, we were seeing whether it was transportation, education, housing, the border wall, for example. I mentioned Presidio earlier. That was a case of a town that is quite literally reliant for some of its basic necessities of life on its sister city in Mexico, a place called Ojinaga, Mexico. And they feel that if a border wall was built there, if Donald Trump's wall is erected across the border separating Presidio from Ojinaga, it would serve as sort of a mortal wound to the city. It would cut it off from the lifeblood of the back and forth flow of economics and also culture and family that these two cities share. So wherever we did go, we found similar stories around different issues in different places around the country that, look, the economy, it might be great somewhere in California or New York or in this part of the country or that, but it's not great here. And we need our federal government to work for us in a better way than they're doing it right now, because it's just not trickling down to us as some would suspect it would be.
So, Dave, last thing, and this is important. So, you know, we talked about how the mainstream media, at least from my perspective, misrepresents what's happening in the country. Look, I honestly think because a lot of the anchors are millionaires and they think, well, I don't, what do you mean? The stock market's booming, I'm doing great, right? And all the people I know are doing great, but they're not down in St. Louis, they're not down in Texas, they're not seeing the wages declining, et cetera, right? And people suffering. But those people that are suffering from the real economic problems in this country, did you get a sense that they actually understood what the real issues were? Like, if they don't have healthcare, do they understand that it's, you know, if they have Medicare, do they understand that's a government program that has given them that healthcare? If they don't have healthcare, do they understand that other countries might be able to have healthcare, et cetera? Or do they go, I don't have healthcare, it must be the immigrants' fault?
So it's hard to generalize. And we talked to people who are Trump supporters. We talked to people who hated Donald Trump and lots of people in between. I spent a week plus in Fresno, California, in a particular neighborhood there. And I found a great deal of political sophistication among people who oftentimes didn't have much at all. They were making $15,000, $20,000 a year. They were holding two, three jobs, trying to work every which way they could, just simply to make ends meet. And doing so in a situation in a community that had had 50, 60, 70 years worth of bad things happen to it, whether it was real estate redlining or awful transportation situations, environmental issues that would make your skin crawl. They've seen it, especially the people who've been there for much of their lives. But at the same time, too, there was a certain level of political engagement. And even if it wasn't something where they were reading the paper every day and constantly connected to news, they understood that there was a lot at stake in this midterm. So as a result, having conversations with folks like that, it was poignant to hear from them to say, look, you know, we really feel like this country could be better. We feel like our community could be better, but it's going to take more than just talk. It's going to take some sort of action. And a big issue for the people of Fresno, California specifically, was transportation. It was the environment. It was economics, issues that get talked a lot about in Washington, but not necessarily are dealt with on a level that goes back to communities like that, that have very acute needs for cleanup, movement, be it what it may. They just weren't feeling it, and they haven't for a long time.
So Dave, real quick, and I know this is a funny question, but did you get a sense from those folks, do they like the establishment, neutral to the establishment, or hate the establishment?
And by the establishment, do you mean the power structure in Washington,
yes.
D.C.? Mm-hmm. I think they were sick of everyone in a way that they felt that the Republicans who are in office right now are working against them, that the Democrats in some cases who were representing them were feckless or ineffective. So there was a sense that, and it was not everywhere, but in many places where nobody was really working for their interests. They were working for somebody else's interests. Maybe they were working for some sort of special interest, a corporate interest, be it what it may, but it wasn't them. And that's where it really came down to the personal level, as our series, which you can find on publicintegrity.org, will tell you in 27,000 words, that these are people who are living lives of great hope amid what oftentimes is a lot of trouble and a lot of hurdles in their way to getting to a better place for themselves. Yet they were still able to maintain a level of hope that the government would get better for them, that their own situation would be better, that they just got a hand up, that they would be able to go from point A to point B, which would be a better place for them.
Yeah, I mean, when I say these things on the show about how people don't like Washington, there's a reason why they don't like it. They feel like they're getting screwed. I think they're right, etc. I don't do it out of thin air. I do it based on good reporting like this. And that's because every reporter that goes and actually talks to those Americans in those smaller towns, different areas that aren't normally covered, comes back with the same result. So it's a great series. Everybody check it out at publicintegrity.org. Dave Leventhal, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks very much.
All right, guys, we're going to take a super quick break. We're going to come right back. We got so many elections to talk about. We'll give you a lowdown on where things stand as we speak, okay? But I also want to talk to a group that is backing scientists for office. How are they doing? Are scientists doing well or poorly in their races so far in this election cycle? Let's talk about that too. We'll be right back. All right, back on Young Turks special election coverage. Everybody else, the Mary Band's going to join me in a second, but I want to do one more interview before that. And everybody remember, today we launched tyt.com/sponsor. If you'd like to buy a bulk membership, that would be amazing, and we'd really appreciate it. Give the gift of TYT to so many more people so we can spread the message. All right, joining me now is Shaughnessy Naughton, president of 314 Action. They are trying to get scientists elected to office. So, Shaughnessy, how's that going?
Great. I guess we'll know better tomorrow. But so far, we have 13 federal candidates on the ballot tomorrow, 2 for Senate and 11 for the U.S. House of Representatives, all with great polling and great candidates running great campaigns.
So I did not know that Phil Bredesen from Tennessee and Jackie Rosen from Nevada, both Democratic candidates, are scientists. What kind of scientists are they?
Yeah, they both have STEM backgrounds. Jackie Rosen is a computer programmer, doing just that. And Phil Bredesen is a PhD physicist. So he would be the lone PhD physicist in the US Senate.
Well, that would be great. I wish he figured out the physics of politics a little bit better and didn't campaign against progressives. But anyway, but overall, a billion times better than Marsha Blackburn. That's my political opinion, but that's almost also science. I mean, but I'm being literal. Marsha Blackburn doesn't really believe in some portions of science, does she?
You know, she leaves a lot to be desired. When we have elected officials that deny the scientific consensus when it is so clear on issues like climate change, I find that incredibly troubling and really does help to make the case as to why we need more STEM professionals in elected office.
Yeah, so look, I get frustrated with corporate Democrats, and I think Bredesen should have been a lot more progressive, but a billion times better and fact-based as opposed to Marsha Blackburn. So I got to ask you, 314, is that because for pie?
Yes, it is a nod to pie, which is used throughout the sciences and also happens to be an irrational number.
An irrational number.
So the digits don't repeat, but
oh, I see. Because I thought for a second it was a number that Republicans liked. Okay, as you can tell, I'm progressive. So, but look, Shaughnessy, I'm going to put you in a tough spot here. I mean, are there any Republican scientists left?
There are some members of the House with medical degrees. They often leave a lot to be desired as well. You know, science isn't a partisan issue, but I think the Republican Party has really in at times embraced some anti-science rhetoric. You know, you can certainly the platform and in the hostility to acceptance of the reality of climate change as well as the imperative of action on it.
Yeah, no, they've become the, I mean, look, you gotta understand, I was a Republican. But part of the reason I left the party is because they became detached from reality. So if you don't believe in science, I don't know how to talk to you. Like you're speaking a completely different language. You know, anyway. So in terms of the House candidates, how'd they do so far in the primaries?
Well, we endorsed in 20 House primaries. 11 made it on to be the nominee. In those races, there were something like 139 other Democrats on the ballot. So I would say numerically so far, that's a pretty good start. You know, but what I often tell the candidates is that when you run a credible campaign and talk about issues that are important that might otherwise not be addressed, you contribute to the dialogue, whether you ultimately win the election or not. And I think that is an important thing to take note of. And you know, the perspectives and priorities that they brought to their prior to their primary races, and are continuing to bring to the forefront in the general election.
Yeah, and look, if I was Politico, I'd say, oh, only 11 out of 20, you didn't win all your races, shame on you. But in reality, that's amazing for a group of your size and relatively new movement. How long has 314 Action been around?
We were founded the summer of 2016, so prior to the Trump election, but still, this is really our first cycle where we've been involved from the start.
Then that's an amazing success rate. And look, I know the wins and losses. We had basically a science week here where we had three women scientists in a row who were all running for office back to back to back on Rebel headquarters. And some of them won and some of them didn't, but it's a hell of a start. And God, wouldn't it be amazing if all of Congress actually believed in science? And isn't it sad that we live in a country where not all of our representatives believe in science?
Well, and when we accept that elected officials can spew anti-science rhetoric and just sheer nonsense and not even go to the box, I think that's incredibly irresponsible on our part.
So one more thing, Shaughnessy. I know the website's 314action.org. So what action do you want folks to take?
Well, we certainly want everyone to go out and vote tomorrow. But longer term, we want to see the scientific community and friends of science to go beyond just advocacy and get involved in electoral politics, whether it's run for office themselves or support their colleagues that are running. You know, scientists are essentially political outsiders, and it can be very hard to break into politics when you don't come from a traditional political background, which is but it's very much needed. And so it's really important that we support these candidates in the primary and then on in the general election.
So if we're keeping it real, historically politics has been a lot about BS, and science is the opposite. So it didn't mix very well in the past, but I think times are changing. So and obviously, in fact, Washington Post declared it the year of scientists running for public office. And 314action.org is a big part of that. Shaughnessy Naughton, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
All right. Okay, guys, we got to take a quick break here. When we come back, Tommy Chong, Anna, and John, and we'll go start to go race by race and ballot initiatives as well, including some amazing ones that could be game changers. So we'll be right back.